Hiya girls, we are Barney and Lukey and we are the hot young visionaries behind Truffle Pig Wigs.
And this is Cliffhangers, the unofficial, unrequested and unhinged RuPaul's Drag Race recap show.
The views and opinions expressed on Cliffhangers are from a couple of women who just love drag and have zero real business judging it. If you are not a fan of red hot acidic critique, turn back now.
What's gayer than two guys blowing five guys? It's Barney!
Oh, the only thing gayer is all of them guys being Elton John.
Oh,
and Miss Lukey Luck, she's microdosing BDSM by just being a bitch every day.
Is that what the B stands for?
Yeah.
Thank you. What have we been up to?
Literally nothing. Just catching up on these goddamn wigs. We have a just a small board of, what is that, 40,000 wigs?
Something
like
that.
To catch up on after our viral overload of COVID.
Coronavirus!
So we're... Luckily, our customers were kind, but we do have a lot to catch up on.
We're backed up, guys.
Backed up to fuck. And luckily, Pride... It's really also just like adding to that intensity. So many people that are like, I need it now.
I had a very chilled weekend, though.
Tell us, Luke.
Mainly just catching up on my personal affairs.
On your correspondence.
See. And also doing some actually great, great headway on my island in Animal Crossing. Any new horizons out there, holler at me. I'll get you that dream address. I actually visited a lovely island called Tropikitch. And the whole island is themed like it's 1970s San Francisco. It was gorgeous. I'll throw that dream address at you if you want it as well.
Can you please tell the girls how long this island has been in the making?
It's around 900 hours at the moment, at last check.
Have you ever spent that long on anything else?
I did play Pokemon Go every day for about 2.5 years.
900 hours.
And this is me. I've played it every day since it came out. I've missed like 3 days when I couldn't play it at least once.
Yeah.
Carol Vorderman over here is doing the maths.
Just so you know. 900 hours is 37 and a half full days. 37. That's over a month. Just full.
Well, a lot of that was started in the original lockdown when there was literally nothing to do, and it was great. And it has taken a bit of a backseat now. I've had to do my real work, but
nasty.
It's great.
Nasty. I've literally been doing nothing. I went out for a lovely. I went out to the Ivy on Saturday.
Hello. What did you have?
I had steak. Weirdly. Just because I haven't had a nice meal out in ages and it was really, really singing to me. But it actually, it wasn't that fantastic, but had many delicious drinks. Mm. We were really throwing them back. Shout out to the Salted Caramel Espresso Martini, obviously, doing the Lord's work. And just shout out to the Ivy in general. Although... Not that they are not riddled with but yeah, very chilled week, but back again. And this is, I didn't realise, but this is the semi-final
of
Drag Race. So we're going to have one more episode and then we're going to have what? Like a week, 6 week break and then we're back in for UK Drag Race season 3.
Crazy. I'm excited.
I actually cannot wait.
I'm excited to have a few weeks off though, so... We couldn't have to do this.
Shout out very quickly, because I'm super excited. At the Soho Theatre coming up, the boys are back in town. Monday the 30th of August to Saturday the 4th of September. The all testosterone-filled drag king troupe, PEX, are back in town. They're polishing their crowns, they're shaping their beards and finding their...
What are they polishing?
Polishing their crowns and finding their best bulge socks. So 30th of August to the 4th of September, head down to see some fantastic drag king at Soho Theatre. I just wanted to throw that in because I love them. And also, can I tell you else something else very quickly?
No.
We got the sweetest message that I ever had seen. I won't hype up their name, but shout out to Kay. You know who you are. And I just wanted to say hello to you on the pod because you're just the sweetest message.
Thanks, Kay. We love you.
About Cliffhangers, the pod, and it was very sweet. So, let's talk drags.
Previously on All Stars.
previously on All Stars Indeed, we finally got to see what the hell was going on with this game within a game. And it turned out it was RuPaul's Secret Redemption Lip Sync Battle Smackdown, also known as the Dr. Reverend Silky Nutmeg Ganache Drag Race.
Yeah.
And after 8 lip syncs, we are left on a cliffhanger to see who has made it back into the competition. Will it be Silky? Will it be Eureka?
Your soundboard has never been out of work, has it? It's the hardest working person in showbiz. Honestly, if Silky had returned over Eureka, I would have thrown hands. I'd have been fucking livid, honestly.
But you know what?
What?
After everything I said last week.
After the hate campaign, the smear campaign that you put against Silky.
I really liked her attitude afterwards.
Me too.
She's just a nasty show-off and I can relate.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought as well, like, there was a sense of gratitude about it that she was like, you know what? Thank God I got the chance to come back, do me silly little things. And I came and I had a good time. And I just thought that was,
and that is going to go down in history as the most won lip sync that it has already.
Crazy. Absolutely mental. Really did not see that for her, but congrats. But thank God that it's Eureka over Silky.
It had to be though.
Yeah. I mean, I would have just felt, I'd have felt nasty. I would have liked, and I just wouldn't have liked it. But
imagine if, well, the horrible end of this episode, if that had happened and Silky came back, that would have been so like off key to have a front runner go and someone who left in episode 3 take their place. At least Rico,
disgusting
Rico, are we calling them? At least Rico's been there the whole time,
especially after her giant blow up costume escapade, her having that blow up costume like round her leg and her tripping over it. I don't know, it was just it. That,
there's a big hole in the front as well that covered up with gaffer tape, which I forgot to mention last
week. That last one just seemed a bit like, you've tried your luck. It's your luck is over now, honey.
Yeah, where are you getting reveals. This weight loss story from?
Yeah, her like just like it being caught round her leg and stuff. And also the shadiness of the editing that they didn't really show that. Like anyone else, do you know what I mean? It's like, do you remember when with old Pheromone that they like filmed it twice?
Oh, we've got like 18 different shots of it, didn't we?
And like they went back to it and they like showed it so many times, like, look at her falling over. And it's like when Silky is like literally caught up like a fish in a net, they're like, oh, just let's focus on something else, don't look at her. I was absolutely dying when RuPaul was like, there is only one word to describe you. I was like literally praying that he just said something else. Like,
rotted.
Like, incontinent. But of course, Legendaric Barry. Yeah. And I thought, congrats to you. And like you said, just such a great attitude of leaving.
Yeah.
And funny as well. That's what you want. So much better than having a quippy little exit line. Is come back and do something. Didn't she do that before when she like came out? She's like, you sure? You sure? She's just like, they're all just cracking up. And that's how you want to be. You want to literally leave the competition like kicking and screaming.
Yeah, like if you leave it on a joke, you've essentially left it with them like wanting more because they're still enjoying you, rather than like a Yara Sophia when you're like, fuck you, fuck your family, I hope you die.
Yeah. Most importantly, is Charlie XCX being held hostage? Why the fuck was she there again for that lip sync? Three lip syncs she's been shown for. Damn. Why the fuck? Like, when it cut to her, I was just like, maybe whoever the judge, who was the special guest judge last week?
Drag Tots.
Yeah.
They had the little, I was going to say the puppets, the mini Bianca and Latrice. Was that who was filling in?
No, but I feel like
in?
Maybe there was someone else as well.
As podcasters, I feel like
you
we should
think,
know
yeah,
this.
Some information at least. But yeah, she, whoever it was, I guess they must have had to leave or whatever. So they've just cut and pasted like Charlie XCX laughing into it again.
Yeah.
And I was thinking maybe it's just the editors just having an absolute lol, being like, how many times can we squeeze Charlie into this? But then I thought, what?
But surely Rue's outfit needs to correlate.
You would think so, wouldn't you? It's just like, it was just a close up of her laughing and clapping. It was like, she is not there, surely. Unless they're just wheeling her out.
Maybe, who knows?
But I guess it's a new day in the workroom.
It's a new day in the workroom.
Trini with the pink hair and tracksuit. Hey.
And you know what that gives you?
Oh.
Sunny flowers, actually.
Shout out to our Royal Highness.
Ms. Mask for your nerve.
Ms. Mask. Also, can we just quickly slip in? I know, obviously, as soon as it gets to the last week, neither of us give a fuck about it. But can you believe that Welsh blockhead and the girl that he cheated on won Love Island.
Sure. I didn't know what you were talking about then. Yes, Love Island.
Now that we've just spoke about Our Royal Highness, Maura Higgins.
Yes.
I just cannot believe. And also that Molly May is the creative director of PLT.
Yeah.
She is really out here doing shit. Not only is her boyfriend out here fighting embarrassing YouTubers stateside. Can you believe?
She's in charge of thousands of Midlands people receiving less than minimum wage, yeah, working in sweatshops.
Yeah.
Well, but at least she's got like 50k on one wrist, was it?
Yeah. I think it was more than that. It was like it was Cartier, wasn't it?
Is it like a watch and two bracelets, something? I don't know.
I think like one bracelet would be 50k.
Well, there you go. But don't pay your workers, Pretty Little Thing. How could you?
Well, I think people are hoping that maybe she's going to attack them from the inside, that she's going to come in and be like, look, I can't.
What, like almost a
coronavirus?
Exactly. Just know that she basically is like, look, I can't have my name attached to something that is so like morally corrupt, so that hopefully she might try and change that. Because if she can, obviously they just all work on profit. So if she can make more money for them, then maybe she can change it and then a fairer wage. I don't know.
But the people aren't going to want to pay more for their Pretty Little Thing.
But if she can make more money, if she can sell more shit, then hopefully they'll be turning a higher profit. So then maybe they can adjust the wages a little bit.
I don't know how it works, Barney.
It's all business to me, honey.
I loved Eureka's entrance with the ow, ow, ow. Ooh. Like, you can't hate her for coming in.
I would not.
No, but like, I feel like if it was someone else, maybe not Silky because they'd seen how much she'd done, but like, it wouldn't be
Scarlet
weird for them to be a little bit like, oh, this yeah, fucking bitch.
They all looked really fondly at Eureka. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's because they're not that threatened by her.
Maybe.
Which is, I mean, would you be threatened by her? I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Tour de force.
Exactly. And she might not have too much of a vendetta, I think, as well. Like, I feel like she seems like she came back in to just be like, look, I'm really fucking glad I'm back here. Like, I love all you guys. She just, like, she brought in positivity rather than a bitch that's like, I would do whatever the fuck I need to do to get to. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but has she even been gone a week? Or like,
has she even been gone? Did she leave at all? She just came off from the lip sync.
Or maybe there was a week off when, yeah, she wasn't in. No, she was in Drag Tots. She wasn't, I don't know.
No, she hasn't left. She came off and then lip synced against Silky.
Yeah.
Because Silky was the returning. And all of them were going on, supposedly, in the
still in their Drag Tots looks watching.
Yeah, supposedly in the narrative of the show that happened straight after.
Crazy.
I wonder whether they're prompted each week to mention how gorgeous them awful suits are.
Oh, 100%. Definitely.
Because I'm guessing that production is like, go on, tell her she looks great. Tell her she looks great.
That's literally just a white suit with a handful of stems on it, wasn't it?
Absolutely disgusting.
And it's like a pair of curtains.
And you think as well, she really has access. She's a multimillionaire. She really has access to, I don't think it's that much of a pull for a company to be like, oh, we'll give you free suits to wear every week. It's like, she could easily go to Gucci. She could easily go to like somewhere, because you know she wears loads of Gucci. Like, she could easily go to somewhere like that and the stylist could just pull. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's good for RuPaul to wear Gucci.
Yeah, what is this,
like,
Klein Epstein Parker, like, sort of?
They don't have to make like custom
blood tie packed.
It's so weird, isn't it? They don't have to make like custom suits every single week. She could just like wear I don't know. It's so mental that they're literally like sworn in that she has to wear these fucking disgusting suits, and they never really fit.
She has an ankle swinger, didn't she?
She does. She does. Well, she's about 7 foot tall, isn't she? But yeah, I thought, I was just very, very glad to see Eureka back. And then we get another mini challenge, which we doth not deserve. I mean, it's a pride photo shoot sponsored by Levi's. Very odd. The product placement is coming thick and fast.
How are you at Quick Drag?
Well, if I was in Drag Race, I think I'd be okay because I would have shaved my eyebrows. That's my main problem. Anything else I can do quick. A lip I can do quick. You just smear, because it's TV as well, and that workroom, it's just bright lights.
Like the Zoom makeup.
Exactly. Smear on the foundation, quick brow. Also, wouldn't you just do like, I'd do a smoky eye, make sure I had a lash, because lash obviously was always going to take it there, and I'd do a 90s brow, so just one line.
I think I would probably just do it like on purpose bad, like massive blue garage doors, like big red lips, just like cartoon makeup, not trying to look.
I mean, I'm not going to be serving you glamour. But, I'll be trying to serve you something, you know. What about Kylie Sneak's love serving you a little karma chameleon?
It was also giving a harking back to Steven Tyler for me as well.
Yeah, she's a rocker.
She's a rocker.
And RuPaul absolutely cracks up every time they ever do this like photo shoot thing. It is like she doesn't even want to pretend like she knows how a camera works. She always holds it like diagonally and like a foot away from her face. And she's like, yes, yes, pose, work, slay. Like, what the fuck? Like, she's like got the camera like upside down. It's just like, you could at least pretend that you're taking the photograph.
It's a lot more artsy, isn't it, to have it loose and livid. Raja was giving me so much jokes. This feels weird to say, but it's like the most like bro-ish I've ever seen her. Even though she was being like the gayest man in the Castro. Yeah. I just thought, which real is like
very gay. Which is very gay. Do you remember in the Castro? What bar is it? Is it in Blazing Saddles? Is that it's Blazing Saddles in LA?
I don't know. Is there one I don't remember anything.
In San Fran. Do you remember which bar was it in the Castro that they have little mirrors in the urinals so that when you go to the urinal you can see?
I wouldn't know, would I? They don't let me in there.
Well, I would have screamed about it. You can check out each other's junk.
That is good. That's very good.
But also as well, like if you piss like directly in front of you, sorry, this is for all the piss play fans out there. If you piss directly in front of you, it obscures it. So you could, a lot of men as well would like, because obviously the mirror is right in front of you. So you could, if you just piss on it, it's just like a lovely, all you can see is piss.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. Well, it's the dream, isn't it? But yeah, real great ideas there. Really wish they'd bring that to London. I thought this whole thing all felt very fast and strange for a mini challenge. It was really just like, right, look, we're getting £100,000 from Levi's. We just need to do something.
Yeah, just like fill in five mins with whatever you want.
And then the fact that Kylie Sinead Love's win was just, oh, you're getting the whole Pride collection. So, okay.
Cool. Yeah. I very much appreciated Eureka's butt window.
Yes!
Oh, peekaboo, I see you.
I thought as well. Did you sort of notice a little from Trinity K. Bonet when she did the little booty tooch? Did you think that Trinity K. Bonet was kind of like, oh, okay, okay, it's nice to see.
I don't know, I think that's what they wanted us to think.
Really? Maybe I did. Maybe that is what I thought. I thought that maybe she was like, okay, you save some of that sugar for later, you know?
Trini was cracking up as well, doing those like low lunges. Reminded me of her Cross the Guard realness.
Yeah, I loved it. A very strange mini challenge, but I love the mini challenges all the same. And then that leads us on to, neatly, the Maxi Challenge, which is entertaining the crowd with true tales of being a drag queen for the charisma, uniqueness, nerve and talent monologues.
That did make me cackle.
Okay. One for the basics. What would your tale be?
I found this really hard.
Yeah.
The only one I could kind of think of was when I realised my tampon string was hanging out after a burlesque routine. But when I say after, I mean after the venue had posted the photos on their socials.
Not on the socials.
On the socials. It was like, from behind, standing, legs open, like bending over. And it's like, what is that? Oh, it's my little string.
Did they tag him, your little mate?
No, rude. No,
very rude. That is absolutely unbelievable.
They called me a liar?
No. It's just.
I'll have a go at anyone who calls me a liar.
No, you would just think that someone from their socials team, someone, I don't know, maybe that edited the photos, someone that put them up or something would be like,
It wasn't massively like the kindest like thing noticeable. To do. I was just like, what's that? I don't recognise that on my costume, on my stoom. And then turns
but also,
out.
Also, women bleed. Get over it.
Yeah.
You know.
But also, we were in knowledge of the, what we used to call the stripper trick, when you just stuff that string up your hole.
Yeah.
Hope for the best. But
or a little bit of sponge.
Sponge?
Yeah.
If you're like a cork? Well, to stop it.
It's what the prostitutes used to do, isn't it? If you're on your period, if you get a bit of sponge and you get it high enough up, then it like soaks up there, but you can still use your vagine. That's like a very old like Victorian trick.
But so you can still have sex. I wouldn't need to go to those kind of lengths.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Who knows where the night will take you?
Well, that was Proud Camden in its 2000s heyday.
Exactly.
What about you?
I really struggled with this. I didn't know. But then it really, for some reason, from the deep, dark annals of my mind. I remembered a story which is like semi-drag, but just also so semi-fucking weird. One of my old friends, who we do not talk about anymore. I can't say on the pod, but...
Sign it to me.
I'd have to explain it to you.
Okay,
I don't
fine.
Think you'd,
you're boring.
All I'll say is... they would never, ever listen to this, but also they're just so deeply, darkly struck off the list of everyone because of an unforgivable turn of events.
LWOK?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Okay, we'll move on. You tell your story.
also, so I'm dying out, obviously. So... Basically, they used to DJ a lot around, or DJ around East London. And what she was DJing this like private party for these like very annoying, unbearable rich like girls from Chelsea that were having a crazy night out in East London. And they'd hired, what's that place in Brick Lane that is like one of the main bars?
That's, the outside bit.
Yeah,
I never remember what
courtyard.
That's called.
Opposite the courtyard. Oh, fuck. I can't really remember.
333.
It's called something like that. It's called like Loft 33 or something.
Maybe. Well.
Yeah. Lock. I don't know. Anyway. Wherever that is. And she was DJing there and they were just like super... This is like back in the New Rave days. And she was in like sort of like full drag. I don't really know why. I was like not dressed in drag. I was just, I had like a full drag face on again back in like the sort of club kid days. And, but sort of like a very feminine drag. And we were going there and then her, basically this, the girl's birthday was her brother. He was like hitting on my friend. Let's call her Lauren.
Okay.
Same first letter. She was hitting on him all night. And then... Basically, at the end of the night, we all got like super fucked up in this like private room upstairs, and there was like a sofa, and someone had like turned out all the lights apart from like one lamp, and then people kept on coming up, and they were like doing whatever. But he started kissing my friend, and then he leaned over and started kissing me. But I was like, this is very weird. He hasn't been really even been speaking to me the whole night. Leaned over and kissed me. And then he kept on referring to me, to my friend, as he was like, oh, could you go and ask your girlfriend?
Your girlfriend?
And let me give you absolutely zero illusions about what I looked like that night. I wasn't like serving soft plastic tiara glam. I was literally sort of like in very, very... I'd been fucked all night and I was like sweating. All of my makeup was like semi off. I was wearing a pair of $1.99 Nicola Girls Aloud Eyelure Flutter Lashes. Like... I was not serving you feminine mystique. But he kept on referring to me as her girlfriend. And I thought maybe he was thinking, you know, like, girlfriends. Mm. Like, but then also, did he think that I was her girlfriend? But then...
Also, the classic man to just be like, I assume that's her girlfriend. I'm going to make out with them both
asking. And then my friend actually ended up leaving with him. And he was like, oh, does your girlfriend want to come? And I was like... And I think, I can't remember whether I took my eyelashes off then. In my head, I did. And I was like, you know, I'm a guy, right? And he was like, yeah, whatever. Okay, do you know what? Actually, don't come then. And because I'd said I was a guy, and that was just honestly one of the most strangest and weirdest things ever. And at the time, I was like 19. Mm. And then I was so bored that I ended up leaving with someone else.
That reminds me of a meme I saw this weekend. It was like, this marks the 3-year anniversary of the time I made out with a lesbian because I thought she was a boy and she thought I was also a boy.
Yeah. The good times.
That's right. She thought I was a girl.
All a mess. The good times. I mean, I don't even know whether that counts as a drag story, but it just, that's for some reason what it reminded me of. And it was like, wow, people are really, when you're in drag, people are really, straight boys already tell themselves anything.
Yeah.
Just so that they can touch the soft pillowiness of your lips, you know?
How would you feel about having to do this challenge? Like a sort of, just talk into a room of people.
I would feel absolutely fine about this. I feel like this, I imagine for you as well, is like, even though it would be scary, this is something that's really in your wheelhouse.
Oh, I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, of course, but you would be good at it. It doesn't matter. I know you might really...
No, I'm only good with scripted things.
But it is scripted.
Well, not really.
You write your own script. You have a whole day to write a minute script or whatever. And I wish I would be the person going around the room telling people this, just make it the fuck up. It doesn't need to be an actual story. Do you know what I mean? Like, make up a ridiculous story that is really entertaining rather than telling and worrying about it being an actual story.
That gives me a very quick sidebar. There's a program called Nathan For You. And on it, basically, to promote his new season, they wanted him to go on one of the like American talk shows. But whenever he'd done talk shows before, he's not like, he's very like deadpan. He's not very interesting. So they always flopped. He's like, okay, I need like a story to tell. And so he worked out that the best stories involve drugs and getting pulled over by the police. But he didn't want to lie. So he made up this story in that he was going to a wedding out of town. He got someone else's suitcase by mistake at the airport, ends up having to wear like a massive like 40 XL suit that was way too big for him, gets pulled over in the suit by cops, and then in the pocket is a baggie full of powder. To the police, like, what the fuck is this? And it turns out to be the person whose suit he's borrowing ashes. But anyway, so that he's not lying, he makes all of this happen in real life, and that's like the episode. So that when at the end of the episode he goes on the talk show, he can tell this story and it's all happened, and it's a storm. So there you go, Nathan For You, watch that.
That is absolutely mental. And now another sidebar that leads me on to. Do you remember that I've told you this story before, but I need to tell the pod. I used to work with this girl, shout out Sophie. She told me that one of her friends was dog sitting, and and it was like out of London a bit. Dog sitting, and while she was dog sitting, the dog died. And she didn't know what to do. And sorry, the dog, it's breathing, like died in front of her, like started breathing really slowly. And then she basically panicked so much because the people that she was dog sitting for, she didn't know very well. And she didn't know what to do. So she called up the vets and they were like, you need to bring the dog in. So she put the dog in the only thing that she could find, which was a big suitcase, to take it on the train to take it to the vets.
What? Get a cab, Soph?
Well, no, this wasn't Soph, this was Soph's friends.
Okay,
took it on the train to take it to the vets. But when she was waiting at the train station, someone came up to her and they were like, oh, like, what you got in the suitcase? And she didn't know what to say and she panicked. So she was like, oh, I'm a DJ, it's my decks. So then as she was waiting for the train pulls up, and then this man sprints from behind her, grabs her suitcase and runs up the stairs and steals the suitcase with the dog. And she has to go to the police and say, the dog that I'm dog sitting died. I took it in a suitcase to take it to the vets and someone has stolen it. But they did find the dog in the end.
Oh my God.
That story sounds so... The whole time she was telling me, I was like, I don't believe a word of this. This is mental. And she was like, no, all of this is true.
I'm going to have to get you to tell them the story about the girl who can't shit through her arsehole in a second, but maybe we should move on.
Maybe we should talk about drag on this podcast rather than just the many strange stories of our life.
Yeah, I would just hate to do this challenge. It made me think of, you know, like in school when everyone's reading and like sort of they'd be like, okay, Johnny, you next. And everyone has to read like a paragraph.
Yeah.
And literally as soon as it's coming up to me, like 10 people before me, I'd literally be like having minor panic attack. Like, oh my God, it's coming to me. And then I'd be like, or like shaking and like stammering over my words when I had to read out.
You see, this is the complete opposite of me. Basically in my class, no one would ever want to do it. And so everyone would make a real big fuss about me doing it because I would be theatrical and obviously horrible,
insufferable
show off. So I'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And so I would just end up like reading for like half an hour because no one else wanted to read. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll do it. Like bringing in like wigs and like changing your costume and stuff.
I can't believe you not had a choice. In ours, it's like, you all got to read.
Yeah, but like this was sort of, I think this was probably English GCSE and people just like did not want to read. And it's like so much easier to just get the local town faggot to be like,
true,
play all the parts, honey, rather than just like make disgruntled teenagers read when they don't want to.
I thought it was really funny when RuPaul was introducing the guests who would be
helping him.
Yeah. And then she mentioned one of them who was on Secret Celebrity Drag Race and was like, remember her? And Kylie is just like, yes. Like, that is all of us. Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
Who would you want to be your stand-up coach? Anyone from the stand-up world. Or an actor, I suppose.
I don't know. You say yours and I'll see if I can think in the meantime.
I would want either, well, one of three, or all three of them, ideally. Nicole Byers. who is just because then I'd know her.
We could also, it's not a stand-up challenge.
It's not, but I feel like all three of these like really straddle, because they're all actors as well.
Mm.
So they straddle the worlds of like being comedy, being hilarious, but also they know how to act. So I feel like that's a good. Nicole Byers, Joel Kim Booster, or Jabuki Young White. Just so I could have sex with him afterwards.
I don't know who that is.
Jabuki. He's the guy that I'm always saying to you. Do you remember? He's like part of the... who's that fit South African comedian presenter guy? Noah?
Yeah, I know what his name is.
Noah.
I know exactly who he is.
Hit us so hard.
Yeah.
Noah...
He does the Daily Show.
Yeah, with Noah... The Daily Show with... Trevor Noah. He is the like roving reporter on Trevor Noah's show, and he's like sort of like 23 or whatever.
Mm.
Just like cute as a fucking button, so fit, and just really, and actually probably the funniest person on Twitter.
Mm.
And so I'd like him to be, so that then I could have sex with him.
I have no answer.
You have
I was
no
listening
answer.
too deeply to your answer for me Staring to be able to eyes. Think of it.
What about Wanda
myself?
Sykes?
Yeah, she would be good, I guess. I just don't know, really. I just wouldn't want to do the challenge.
Someone from The Office. What about Kylie serving you Tom of Finland fetish daddy in that hat?
Mm. Ow. She can serve me anything.
Ow. And when Eureka was like, you guys are going to vote me straight out. And everyone was just like staring at him like, it's like, that's not the answer that I was looking for. It's like, yeah, they really fucking are.
They will
Eureka?
Do if they can.
That's not the response, bitch. That's not the response. I just felt like Trinity seems so defeated. It was really like
before the coaching
the whole
session
way through.
Yeah, because like, I thought she did really well in the coaching, and they gave her a really warm welcome as well. They really kind of like whooping and a hollering when she came out.
Hollering and a yellering. Who the fuck is this cute guy next to Alex Mappas?
He's well cute, isn't he?
He's well cute. yeah, absolutely. I was like, oh, damn, maybe I should be paying attention to these
people.
Maybe
you should be watching RuPaul's Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
I think he's not that cute.
very good to hear a new word, Paswatcher.
Paswatcher. Most importantly, does this mean now, because now we've got, you know, like Ukraine's Drag Race, like... literally every single country ever. Does this mean hopefully that they'll give up on all like the shit offshoots, like the Celebrity Drag Race and like things like that? Because there's just so much going on. They can't possibly be trying to shoehorn in.
I hope so. Even that Christmas one was eggy, wasn't
but
it?
But we did get our return of our beloved Kylie Sneak Love.
And we
did. That weird moment with Jasmine Masters face covered. Someone pretended to be Jasmine Masters because she'd left set. There was a lot of strange...
It was just basically like an infomercial for Rue's Christmas album. And
yeah, a lot of
odd.
Strange drama going on, which was fantastic.
Doth we move on to Elimination Day?
yeah, but can I just say, I just love so much how personable and soft Kylie is.
Mm.
There's like that really... And it's not a quality that's like often shown in drag artists, I don't think. Like, so the default is to be loud, is to be obnoxious, is to be like, and she I'm sure she can be all of them things, but it's what I love about her is she shows like a completely different side. And maybe this is like more with being a doll than rather than being sort of like a, I don't know, the Eureka.
She's a lovely soft woman.
The Eureka.
She's one of these horrible loud men shouting.
You called. But just I just love how like soft and relatable, and she seems like a friend rather than like this sort of untouchable drag queen glamazon, even though she does bring all of that as well. Mm-hmm. She also like really feels like a person, which makes me think, wow, is that winner's shit? I think it fucking is.
I hope it is.
Ginger Minj recycling the exact same vibe and jokes.
I'm glad that they pulled her up on that, because, yeah, like it's like with the Drag Tots thing. Like, she is the Ginger Minj character, and she'll just, that is what she does all the time.
All she ever does.
So that's why when she says stuff, it does sound so rehearsed, because she's like, well, let me tell you one more time.
I grew up with someone like that when I was younger, another gay guy. And when I first met him, I was like, you are the... absolutely the funniest motherfucker I've ever met in life, like crying constantly. And it was like after like 3 months, I was like, oh,
you
every single joke
jokes.
Yeah, every single joke that you tell is recycled, and it's just like repurposed in a different way with different people, and actually everything about your comedy is just learned, and that without Jack McFarland, actually you don't have any comedy skills at all. Like, and it's just like, and he was yeah, it was like he was older than me, and I was like, oh, like actually, like so many people's comedy is just like copy and pasted from other people, and it's not like thinking on your feet at all.
I think most things I say that are funny is just like ripped from like The Simpsons or programs I've just watched my whole life.
And what did you think about Eureka and her shitty kitty going for the most embarrassing moment in drag? I thought that was a very smart move.
Well, yeah, because what do we want? Vulnerability. When do we want it? Every episode.
Pants full of shit. but yeah, let's move on to Elimination Day.
Did you see Eureka's hair? Is that almost the same midnight blue colour of your lovely new How's Your Head wig?
It is, you know. Mm. It is, and I thought it was absolutely gorgeous. Why is TKB walking around telling everyone that she might go? Stop reminding them.
I know.
Please. Bamboozle them with a lovely card trick or something.
Yeah,
I don't know,
exactly. Like... get one of Silky's props from the other wig.
Yeah, exactly. And... don't be telling them that you're going to go.
Because then that makes it so much easier for them to choose. You,
yeah, you're like literally planting the idea in their head that it has to be you, which is just not honey. We cannot see you go, we will not see you go.
What did we do?
Saw her go,
yeah.
the part with Eureka really broke my heart when she was sort of,
breaking my heart,
because as well, like she's been so vulnerable for someone that's so loud and like seemingly very confident. You've seen so much vulnerability from her and her biscuit kickers this season, and I just, yeah, I thought that was really gorgeous. But do you know what I really fucking loved about it? I really loved the delicate way in which Trinity handled it. She wasn't like, oh, like she first of all like gave her the space to be like, okay, this is a moment for her, like she's obviously needs to say this. And she wasn't like, she didn't make a joke out of it. She wasn't like, yeah, bitch, well, you know, like, and gave her some like loud, annoying response. She really like listened to her, but then also she wasn't like, well, you know, I'm gonna fuck you. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just, I felt like the way that it was handled was really good, because I was kind of a bit on tenterhooks. I was like, how is Trinity gonna respond to this? Because, like, does she love her? Like, because you feel like Eureka, there might be like more than friendship for Eureka.
Yeah.
And I just thought, wow, God, Trinity is a fucking great person as well.
Well, it was quite confusing. Coming after the pink table talks when Eureka was saying like that she's always getting it.
But that doesn't
but then
mean
maybe
that
was a bit of a front.
I don't know.
But then B, the fact that Eureka voted her out after was very confusing.
But also just because people want to fuck you, it doesn't mean they want to be intimate with you. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but I don't think it is about fucking. I think it's more of.
But she was like, I get loads of dick. So if she's someone that's if she's someone that's like heavily fetishized for her size or something, for example, people being like, oh, I want to fuck Eureka. It doesn't mean that like then that she's.
They want to have pillow talk.
Yeah, it's
snuggles.
Extended to like a soft intimacy that she obviously has with. But yeah,
want that with TKB.
I want it with both of them. Imagine lying between TKB and Eureka. Although, let me tell you, I bet Eureka. Wicked farter. I can just sense it with her.
Well,
she's got that energy.
She's a gassy one.
She's got that energy. It ain't for me, girls. Should we take a little break, Luke?
Let's do it.
It started in a church hall, and then shit got crazy. Rebel Bingo rose up from the underworld to remind everyone, Daddy's home. Sure, they've been around the block, from Las Vegas to New York, LA, Ibiza, Portsmouth Student Union, but they are back in their spiritual homeland, London.
And because there just ain't nothing like a TP Dubs party, you can now grab £5 tickets for their next events in September and October with the code TRUFFLEPIGS, that's plural, that's TRUFFLEPIGS, for a £5 ticket for the next Rebel Bingo. So go grab them now. It's www.rebelbingo.com.
Join the revolution on the 3rd of September and the 2nd of October at Oslo Hackney. The OG intense bingo experience.
Please welcome back to the stage, Miss Olive, what she's having. Sorry, that was a weak one.
I can always tell when you're not sure about it because you're like, look up at me with just panic in your eyes. Like, Olive, you hit that drum roll, honey. She's Samantha's lesser known brother. It's Lee Key Janice.
Oh. Would you say you've got a leaky Janus?
No, I don't think so. That is honestly a... I can remember seeing that on Embarrassing Bodies once, that just someone was just like, oh God, yeah, look, my ass just leaks all the time. It's like, that is an absolutely awful thing to have to live with.
Of what? Poo or just general plasma?
General, like,
plasma?
Gunk. General, like... Yeah, because obviously it's a waste pipe, so, like,
anything... You're a waste pipe.
Yeah, so obviously it's just not a cute thing to be going with. And also, as well... My worst thing on Embarrassing Bodies, obviously I do not watch that anymore, I literally cannot bear it, but when they have like sores or cuts or thing, and it just like, it can't heal, do you know what I mean? Because it's just like a wet, moist hole. Some of us have got a wet, moist hole.
Ow!
Yeah, real tough times. Mm. Just anything to do with the genitalia in general is just a real tough time. I don't know how they manage to get people to go on telly being like, hi, my... foreskin is hanging off.
Yeah, we've got the NHS. Like, yeah, do it in private. Really,
unless they get paid. Do you reckon Embarrassing Bodies people get paid?
I don't know.
You fucking hope so. If I've got to go show my warty cock on telly.
And then you get all the free healthcare.
True. And then we're back on stage.
We're back in the room.
Yeah. I hate victory rolls, but they do suit RuPaul.
I actually like the victory roll on Mama.
And can I tell you why? Very weird for you to call her Mama.
Mama.
I didn't think you'd want to be related or connected to her in any way, but sure. We were literally just saying the other day that I can't believe that at one point you were going to get a RuPaul tattoo.
I know, portrait.
Honestly. Do you know why I think it is that they suit her? It's because she is quite timeless. She never really does looks that are modern.
Mm.
So, like, her looks are always... She never really tied to sort of an age ever. So I think that, like, the victory rolls, even when she wears them, they don't look 50s on her. So I think that's maybe why we 40s. Like
40s.
40s, yeah, of course, sorry. So maybe that's why we like them.
Because the jumpsuit was giving me a bit of like 70s does 40s, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that weird New Delusion panel wasn't very matching with the skin tone, was it?
It wasn't. And someone said to me that RuPaul has never always. I saw it on Twitter, actually, I think, that she never shows actual, like, full breast, as in, like, she's never been, like, cut off, like, in a sweetheart neckline or whatever. She always has straps.
Interesting.
Yeah, which I don't know whether I believe, but someone was saying that, like, maybe it's something to do with, like, how her chest is aging or whatever, but, like, they've never seen her in just like a flat neckline.
Well, she often looks like she's got a hint of a breast, but never like painted on, like 3D. So maybe she has straps so that they're really pushing, like taping the flat over.
Well, she's
got
like man breasts.
I'm sure like it doesn't need to be a lot.
A bit of jiggly gynecomastia.
Who are you calling about my gyna? Sorry, I got very frog in my throat. BRB. Talk amongst yourselves.
And then, so let's talk about these performances. First up, we have TKB with Bamboozled.
Well, first of all, she looks great. Those finger waves are lovely on her, and I love me some houndstooth.
Can we talk about how difficult finger waves are as well?
Please.
First of all, you need a 360 lace, expensive. And then also, you need to be able to rock each finger wave with, I'm only saying rock because you kind of have to rock your fingers as you do it. Each finger wave without disturbing the last one or the row behind. It is a real fucking skill. And do you know who the best at it ever is?
Who?
Him from Brighton. The guy that does all of Joe Black's
Dan Chapman,
literally the best at them. I can remember he put up one wig one time and that was finger waves, and it was just literally like every single row and ridge was just fucking like immaculate.
Are his all human?
I guess so. I think doing, from what I know, doing finger waves with synthetic wigs is so much harder than the human, just because it doesn't manipulate in the same way. But amazing. I thought she looked gorgeous, and she just was so relaxed and so funny, and all that wide squatting, come on.
I actually did a mini dive on the difference between dog tooth and hound's tooth check, just to see if one was fancy and one was river trash and what one I should be using. And all it is hound's tooth is a larger size and dog tooth is smaller.
It turns out you're the river trash.
I am the river
trash. Who saw that coming?
So that's why, TKB, she was in a hound's tooth because I could see it from the wide.
Mm. I can see a couple of hound's tooth in front of me.
I didn't get why they kept cutting to Carson and Justin, kind of like turning their heads to the side in a confused way when she was telling the stories. Like,
listen, fags.
For the first thing, yeah, like there's no way that like that those looks were cut. Like they've been placed in there by the edit because nothing she said was confusing. It was like a normal story. I don't know why they're trying to like play it like, oh.
I really thought that this whole section actually of them doing the stories really felt very heavy on production. Mm-hmm. The reactions to what they were doing just didn't seem at all like they should, like they were paired properly.
Yeah.
It seemed like they were really trying to sort of carve a narrative out of it. And we'll talk about that in a second because there was a real moment of it where I was like, nah, this ain't adding up for mm-hmm. me. Nope.
Didn't you think it was quite weird? Like, when Trini said the words about the guy putting the safety back on his gun, it was like pretty chilling. And it's just like a reminder that like in America, you can just, anyone can get a gun and like kill themselves. Like it would be so hard to do that here. We'd have to go like slit your wrists in a bath, take a couple of pills.
Oh, I do toaster in the bath. Way
would you?
Yeah, but then you'd
be left with crazy hair.
Yeah. Dazzle them one last time, honey.
But yeah, just I found it really just like sort of unsettling to hear her talk so matter of fact about like the gun.
I thought that it was more of a metaphor to be like, to put the safety back on your gun is like a reminder that, I don't know actually what I thought then. That's not how I heard it. I thought that when she was saying that, like, she was, it was a reminder that she needs to look after herself and that she, like, her safety needs to come first.
No, because she was saying the man who she met with her, he was watching Drag Race. And when TKB said about her status, he literally put the safety back on his gun and put the gun down.
Oh my
yes,
God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Talking about the fags won't listen. This fag, look inside, honey. Wow, that is, yeah, that's fucking chilling. Mm. And just, that's like a constant discourse on Twitter that just like whenever American people and English people are arguing, they'll say something, they'll be like, oh, good one, you with your bad teeth. And they're like, good one, go get a gun and go to school.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like the answer back that all British people always do to American people. It's like, I can't believe that we've got to a place where we even joke about it. But imagine, if for people in England, for any of our stateside listeners, I would like pass out if I even saw a gun. I can't imagine what one looks like.
When you're on holiday or in the airport and you see like the police with like guns in their it kind of like puts me on edge. It's like, what the fuck?
It's a reminder as well, like you said, when you see people with guns, it's a reminder that like death is imminent. Do you know what I mean? That they could shoot you and you would be dead and that would be it. And we're not often faced as British people that have like obviously such strict gun laws, we're not faced with like being in contact with something that could kill us straight away. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't see weapons in England. You don't see like...
apart from knives. But I saw yesterday on Instagram that some little student has invented something to stop your blood coming out as much when you get stabbed.
It is so incredible. So it's basically like a compression balloon that they mount over the stab wound, and the balloon goes inside and it blows up, which obviously like compresses all of the wound to like stop bleeding. And apparently it could like on site for when people get bleeding out, it could like really slow down blood loss.
Congratulations, Loughborough University.
Yeah, this guy's like what, like 21 or something?
And yeah, madness.
Absolutely incredible. But oh my God, that is absolutely fucking chilling about the thing. But I thought this whole story was heartwarming, comedic, and exactly what you wanted it to be.
There was romance, we got a massive twist, there was raw emotion, and she ended on a joke. Like, that is
like a Jilly Cooper novel.
Oh, Jilly Cooper.
Why have we never done a Jilly Cooper wig? Can you picture what Jilly Cooper's hair looks like?
Yeah, it's a bit like, what's her name from Dynasty?
Yeah, Crystal.
And very kind of like that sandy, where's me mullet?
I think Georgie's got the mullet, no? Yeah. She honestly, absolutely the fucking best. What would you have given this overall out of 10?
Like an 8.
I'd have given this a 9.
And I think the fact that she wasn't fast-tracked to the final after calling RuPaul her guardian angel is really a travesty.
Absolutely. Do you know what? It would have been a 10 if she hadn't called RuPaul her guardian angel. Because what I don't like is when people talk about the RuPaul like empire, it's not, RuPaul doesn't do anything like
except frack.
Yeah, except
and be transphobic in the past.
Destroy the planet and refuse diversity on for the drag scene. But yeah, that was one bit that I didn't like, because that seemed a tiny bit pandering to be like, he's my guy. Like, why is RuPaul your guardian angel? Like, everything you've... Your drag family is your guardian angel. Your fans are your guardian angel. Do you know what I mean?
Like, but then maybe, like...
he feels indebted.
Josh... What's on first name term?
Josh.
Maybe Joshy was also literally like, fuck my life, I can't do this anymore, and then got the call like, you've made it to Drag Race. Like, because sure. I feel like it was, he was kind of putting the parallel between the two stories.
Sure. It's just I can't.
Don't you do it, TKB?
It's just I can't warm to.
No.
To Lady Rubella, just it's not for me. But then next up we have First Time by Kylie Sinigla. It was a hot summer day in Georgia. Very Blanche DuBois. I've always relied on the kindness of strangers. As soon as she started, I was like, I could listen to you talk all day.
I very much appreciated when she got off the stool at that particular point when she talks about going on stage. Very reminiscent of when Westlife would all get up with a major key change.
Impossible! Yeah, absolutely.
A rise from a stool can be very emotive.
Which one of Westlife did you fancy?
None of them. They were like... I had to have a bit of boy zone in my life because my oldest friend Carla loved Ronan, but I was an E17 girl at the time.
Of course,
because I'm from the streets. And then Westlife came and they were just like some even worse version of boy zone to me. So.
I was like maybe 10 when Westlife were at their height, and there was just like one of them. I can't even remember what his name was. The one with the dark hair that I was just like...
The main one.
Okay, yeah. I could be split.
The
yeah.
main one with the sort of reddish.
I literally don't even. I can't even picture him now. Or remember that he had dark hair. There was the one that was the
like
kind of chunky
Kian
one that was with,
and something two like matching blonde ones.
The one that was married to Kerry Katona with the curtain.
Brian McFadden.
and then there was the gay one.
The one that died.
Mark Fahili.
Oh no, that was Stephen Gately from Boyzone.
Stop killing people on the pod. Okay, that was nasty.
Millie Bobby
room.
Brown.
That was Millie Bobby Brown over here selling nasty rumors, killing the gays. That he is not dead. Can we get a fact check on Mark from Westlife? He's not dead, is he?
I don't even know who Mark is.
He's the gay one. Is he not gay?
I don't know.
Am I outing people that aren't even gay? No, he's gay. He's in Westlife. Come on. But the other one with the dark hair, I wanted to be fingered by
the main singer.
I guess. I can't even remember who the fifth one is, so sure.
We'll BRB on
that. Surely there's a ginger one. It's Westlife. They're Irish boys.
Sunnyflowers, actually.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, very strange diversion there.
When she said about her belly being bubbly like champagne, all I could think about was when Jill Tyrrell was like, still quite bubbly, actually. Filled the bowl twice over.
I can't believe that we missed Miss Jill Tyrrell. Right, pod, I need to tell you something. Luke, there is no person in London that would do a better Jill Tyrrell. And she was actually signed up to Miss Jill Tyrrell 2020, was that? 2021, but it got cancelled.
No, 2020, sorry, yes.
But she had to put out, unfortunately, because of coronavirus. And they've now just done another one, but 2022, you're going to take Miss Jill Tyrrell.
Maybe.
Make it your bitch, because there is no one that would do a better Nighty Nights. Miss Jill Tyrrell.
I reckon Georgie would do a good one. Miss Georgie B. Fancy Shoes. She's got the accent.
She does.
Down.
She does, but you've got the bad extensions. You've got...
The horrible personality.
Yeah, the nastiness. so that would be absolutely fantastic. Can I tell you something about Kylie Sneak Love that is fantastic, but it's also worrying me? I think part of the problem with Kylie Sneak Love, which is why maybe RuPaul might not see her as a winner... is she seems very resolved of her trauma. She seems too far down the line to give RuPaul what he needs for a show.
But think about the winners. None of them are real, I was going to say, trauma cases. That doesn't feel very nice. But like Chad, perfection. Chad, is that his name?
Lady Chadderley, yeah.
At
Chad Michael All-Star.
Like Alaska had one mini meltdown, but she's pretty normal. Trini and Monet, they're fine. Shay had that one thing about Sasha, but it's like none of them are real sob stories.
No, it's not so much the sob story. It's that she doesn't seem willing to give production what they want. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's not out here being like, she's not giving them the trauma porn of talking about being a trans performer. Like, she seems so far along in her journey that she doesn't need it.
Yeah.
And I think that they will want to give the win to someone that desperately needs it. A fantastic narrative like Ginger Minj, who's like, I've been here a million times and I want it so bad.
But is that a fantastic narrative? Or no, is it like, get not. It right the yeah, first three times?
Yeah. Then? But, do you know what I mean? Or Raja coming back being like, everyone hated me and now I've come back and I've completely shown. It, the thing is with Kylie, and I felt this about the story, she's not like, I need to come here and beg for my spot. And she doesn't feel like she desperately needs it.
Mm.
She deserves it, but she doesn't feel... Do you know what I mean? I just feel like...
Well, she said that she had $200 in her bank account the day that she got the All Stars message.
$200? Mm. Wow, that's only like £150.
Yeah, that ain't shit.
honey. But saying that, maybe she had stacks and stacks of cash from the tips.
Hopefully.
You'd hope so, yeah.
Should we move on?
Yeah, please. And then next up, we have My Ruby Slippers by Ginger Minj. Tell him.
I know it's not a comedy challenge,
but
I at least chuckled a couple of times with Trinity and Kylie, but not a twinge for the Minj.
It just feels over-rehearsed. It really felt like a monologue. It really felt like a learned monologue from the theatre.
Yeah, the way she was, like, even though they complimented it on her later, like, she'd be talking about something and she'd, like, pause and be obviously, like, remembering the shoes. But it seemed so, like, forced, like she was doing it on, like, a play or something.
Yeah. And there was real moments of, like, pathos. Is that the right word? Like,
it's a lovely Greek island.
The island of...
It's the new Mykonos.
Next to Lesbos. There was real moments of like where she was like, and my daddy looked at me and I turned and then she like gave you performance.
Yeah.
It felt so artificial. And I was like, this is a real moment where someone who is like she's very performative normally. She's very, I don't think she feels very like in the moment. Like she's always coming back with a joke that is like, again, you've kind of heard it before. It's not that.
Yeah.
She's not giving you like Alaska sort of like stupid humor that is really something that you warm to.
Just like classic drag played
out joke.
But not
even
joke.
Like classic, like I don't even feel like she's classic drag humor because... She's like, also, it's a bit Disney as well. She doesn't really like really go there. Do you know what I mean? But I just feel like, yeah, it just, I don't know. And there was a bit as well that when she said, and it even had a half inch chunky heel, it cut to Michelle and Rue and they were both belly laughing.
Is this the bit like, you're talking about?
Yeah, literally like screaming. It's like a chunky half inch heel. And Rue was like... It was like,
that's literally the go-go boots you're wearing right now.
And it's not, that is not your reaction to what she just said.
No.
Like, that is a cut and paste edit to be like, oh my God, Ginger Minj was really funny. Remember how, so that they can say later on, remember how well she did in that challenge.
You're boring.
And it just, the maths ain't math, insists. Like, I do not, it didn't make sense. And especially after you've watched TKB, who was all of these things. And I'm not saying this in a biased way at all, I don't think. Like,
we wouldn't dare be biased.
Not on the pod. But yeah, it didn't match up. I don't think.
And she seemed so confident this whole episode. She was basically like, yeah, because, you know, like, this has got my name written all over it. I can do me a monologue. It's like such off-putting. A boner killer.
Yeah, real off-putting, isn't it? Then next up, we have Bunny Tail by Raja O'Hara.
Would you say you were the stinky tea?
I'm definitely the stinky something. I'm the stinky bee. The stinky tea thoughts.
Why? If it was stanky, then maybe.
Yeah, why are you stinky? And also, what is tea smelling of?
I don't know.
Like, stale.
Let me see, I've got a cup here.
But I did belly laugh at baseball bat in a wig.
I don't really understand
it. Just because she's so tall and thin.
Sure.
It's like a baseball bat.
I wondered if she changed her name from Victoria Lee Mack because she found out who Lee Mack was.
Yeah, I imagine so. You would not want to be tied to that nutter. Have you ever thought of an alternative drag name that you might like to call yourself? Oh, please tell them what originally your first drag name was.
Well, Dominic Top and the Bottoms, they're my backing dancers.
Yeah.
But turns
out... Although, annoyingly, I've seen that so much. First of all, that is 100%. We came up with that like a decade ago.
Mm.
You were the first Dominic Top.
I like to think so. But then again, like it is very obvious, like Dom Top, if you ain't got it, Huns.
But your original drag name was Lucrezia La Bomba.
Well, that was my burlesque name.
I mean, it's all the same.
And I am the boom boom bomb, baby.
Tyrant flashback! I had my TV on subtitles, as I so often do. And they spelt zhuzh, Z-H-U-Z-H.
They always do. It's kind of like Zsa Zsa Gabor, isn't it?
Yeah, although it makes sense.
I don't think it does, because...
I can remember my mum texted me, obviously... The mother of a gay son texted me once saying zhuzh, and she spelt it J-H-O-O-S-H, zhuzh.
Zhuzh. Yeah. I think it's got to have a J-E-U at the beginning, because I think it's kind of French, like le jeu.
You spell it J-E-U-J, don't you?
Something
zhuzh.
Like that, zhuzh,
zhuzh,
yeah.
But zhuzh, Z-H-U-Z-H, does make sense.
It's very like Grace zhuzh.
Yeah, it feels very, oh my God, yeah.
Very zhuzhy.
Very, it does feel zhuzhy, doesn't it? Imagine if Grace zhuzh spelled her name, Grace zhuzh.
Maybe it would tell her.
Yeah, very cute.
We'll address her box to that.
Shout out to Grace zhuzh.
I thought she warmed up a lot.
Angel face.
Yeah, we have a nice dog as well.
Oh yeah. Shout out to East London royalty, Grace zhuzh. Love her.
Yeah, I thought Raja really warmed up towards the end. Like, she was a bit not stiff at the beginning, but you really noticed towards the end that she got a bit more relaxed. She was giving us levels, moving around the stage.
Yeah. Can I just say my first drag name was, and this is how long I've been gay. My first drag name, I wanted it to be Bewley, because it was my dad's really interested in cars, and he took us to this car thing in a place called Bewley.
My mum grew up in Bewley.
Oh yeah, yeah, we've had this conversation before, haven't we? And it's like a classic. My dad's, I grew up, he always had like classic cars.
From money, don't worry about it.
not at all. But so we would always go to these like classic car fairs. You know, very
Goodwood.
Very vintage, very retro.
Did you get dressed up in your circle skirt?
You know me, honey. Couple of Vic rolls. actually, sorry, can I just point out, my mum and dad are literally at a vintage like festival this weekend. And
did they get dressed up?
Well, my mum was like, can you buy me a lovely lipstick? So I went, she was like, I want a vintage red. So it just Chanel bought a little lipstick and lip liner for the girls, because she wanted to feel very vintage.
You didn't go Ruby Woo?
No, I thought it was a bit basic. Not for mum. Well, she wanted like a nice lipstick. So I thought Chanel does the best packaging. Like, you know that shitty little MAC plastic packaging. My mum wants something with a bit of weight to it, you know.
Triple layer corrugated cardboard, please.
Well, no, they're metal. Oh. They're like proper, like, they're like nice, like, like matte black with gold trim and stuff. It's very, you're really paying for the packaging.
Very,
you know?
That.
But yeah, after seeing that, maybe that was sort of like, I was like 8 or 9. I was like obsessed with the word. Obviously, I didn't know why I was obsessed, because she's a gay.
Is that your Mexicatessen?
Yeah, exactly. And I can remember just being like, wow, there's something about that word, the glamour of it being like French, the glamour of that, how it rolls off your tongue. And then as soon as I knew what drag was, I was like, oh, my drag name to be Bewley. But Bewley is spelt B.
Bewley and the Beast.
Bewley is spelt B-A-U. L-I-E-U. Imagine people like just like someone being like, and next up we have Bowley. Yeah, so probably wouldn't work. But what would you we skipped Ginger Mint. What would you give her out of 10?
I don't think we rated Kylie either.
Kylie
I'd give like a 7.5.
I'd give her an 8. Ginger Mint a 4.
Yeah, a 5.
No, a 5. And then the Stinky Tea.
Stinky Tea, maybe like a 7.
A 7. Yeah, me too. I thought it was a good, safe.
Definitely, I thought it was fun. I liked the beat.
And then next up, we have A Benefit by Boom Boom for Eureka O'Hara.
The biggest drag queen in captivity.
That is such a fucking good line. I screamed a little bit when she said that. She's just so warm and entertaining. She's like, it's like being hugged.
She looked absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Can we talk about £13.33 a night? How is that even possible or legal?
Dollars as well. So dollars. Make that £10.
Yeah. How is that possible?
Maybe. I don't know. And why was it so on the nose? Was it divided by...
Well, I wonder whether she actually gets paid £40 and she has to do 3 numbers. So she gets paid £13. That's a third of $40. Yeah. So maybe she gets paid like... It's just 3 numbers or whatever. Well. I don't know, mental. Her body looks sensational in that bunny outfit. Mm. Just like, oh, the curves and swerves. Yeah, into it. And I really, really like this. I would have given this like a, probably an 8, because I just thought It was fun. She never takes herself too seriously. It was actually, dare I say, it was a bit gross for me. I know that's mental thing for me to say. It's just, there was, I don't know, it's just like, there was so much shit talk. I was just like, I kind of like didn't really want to hear like what it sounded like. I don't know. It's just,
I thought it was for a shit story, very light.
Oh, okay. I like shit.
Yeah, although I love how Eureka's allowed to talk about her mound of brown and Michelle's there going, tee-hee-hee, but poor old Rock'em Sakura wants to high kick into a fart, then that is just a no-go.
You will just not let this go, will you?
No, like, it just is so hypocritical.
Ever since they said to Rock'em, like, really, a fart joke, Lukey's been like, I will tear this place down. How dare they not allow? And I'm with you. Although I did not care for the fart.
You didn't see Down Under, but they did a challenge where they had to sell their own yeast spread, aka Vegemite, Marmite, yeah. Poveril. And it was that, I've got a dirty mouth and mind and body parts, but I even found that just like, this is gross. Like, they're talking about like female yeast, but yet that's fine.
I was going to say, but that's what's so disgusting about Drag Race. There's like, oh, like a queen talking about her own fart, repulsive, but like, men mocking yeast of women, like dressed up as women, hilarious. Like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Love it, honey. Love it.
But I liked this one.
I'd give this probably a same as Trini, 8.5.
Yeah, I'm an eight for this. And then for our runway theme, we have Oops, I Did It Again. Can we talk?
First of all, have you ever had an oops moment / wardrobe malfunction?
No, but you're about to talk about what happened to you at Bingo when your chainmail dress.
We've already told them about that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that is true. And
I've got a different story, though.
Have you? Please tell them. I do have one, but please tell them.
Well, obviously, my tampon string moment I mentioned earlier. Yeah. But also when I was around 15, 16 years old, just a young new metaller girl on the scene.
Yeah.
Went to a club called Adrenaline, which was just off Tottenham Court Road. And the Limp Bizkit version of George Michael's Faith came on.
Yeah.
I, always in the centre of the mosh pit, yeah. One of the lads. You can't hold me down. You can't hold me back. And then at some point, my incredibly baggy jeans dropped to the ground, revealing in the UV light my white knickers in the middle of the club in front of everybody.
Super cute. Mm. Super cute. I wish I could have been there.
Maybe you were. No, you probably would have been 7 then.
All of my embarrassing costume moments have always happened on stage, and I have so many of them. One time I was doing a show and I had, for some reason, we had really high, we're doing a Fosse number, and we had really, really high-legged leotards on. And I had like a really strange dance belt on. I don't know why, like a jock strap.
And I thought you meant kind of like a on the hips, kind of like bullet belt.
No, unfortunately not. I wish it was. And it was like an old dance belt, and I wore it because it was quite thin. Weird. Don't know how it happened. But when I was dancing, we had on, obviously the girls had on tights, but the boys didn't. So we had these high legged leotards and like cuffs and stuff. It was all very strange. When I was dancing, I did something that was like full body, and my dance, the back of it broke. And so then
Did you have a Raja moment?
Well, so as I was dancing, like obviously a good like dance belt, a good job.
Sorry, can you explain what a dance belt is?
Well, it's basically the polite way that you refer to, because obviously you wear them from like the age of 13 as a boy. Like if you're in ballet or whatever, like obviously you're in a leotard, so all your junk needs to be there. It's like, it smooths it. And it holds it also up, like when you're jumping and stuff, you don't want it to, it has to be like.
So it's like a sports bra for your sack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you want your dick like against your body rather than like.
Loose goose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's obviously so dangerous in dance.
Dangerous?
Yeah, no, like super.
You have someone's eye out.
You'll have someone's eye out with that thing. No, it's super fucking dangerous because they dance college that I went to, they were like super strict about it. Like boys, often if you forgot your dance belt, because also we had like a lot of boys that like hated wearing them, because when your fucking dick is strapped up from 8:30 in the morning to 6:30 at night, like up by your belly button, it's like, it's not the most painless thing that you will ever go through. And that 5 days a week, it's a lot. So we had a lot of boys that just like basically went, oh, I forgot my jock today or whatever, because they're just like, it's so painful. And you wouldn't be allowed to do classes because they'd had situations over the years where people had been going into classes and not, and
banjo string,
no, like twisted testicles, and it is like actually genuinely really dangerous.
That's the sound for the twisted testicle.
Yeah, and like a strangulated. There was someone in a couple of years above me who got like a strangulated testicle from like not wearing like proper underwear for. Yeah, because especially in ballet as well, like if you have a full like 15 minute section of like elevation where you're just jumping up and down and stuff, it ain't good for you, honey.
Oh, honey.
And so basically mid show, in a show with a full paying audience, my jockstrap like came it broke at the back, which meant that like my underwear was like shifting because it's all so tight and elasticated, it was like shifting to like the other leg, which meant that like it basically came off the front. And I was in a leotard that was very high-legged and I was like dancing. And then I could like, it's like one of them things that we're talking about. You don't know your wig's off until it's off.
Mm.
And you don't know your balls are hanging out until they're hanging out.
Oh,
but
dear.
Like I did something like a high kick or something.
Into
like
a
layout. And then was like, oh my God. And I thought my leotard had broken. I thought my leotard had come off.
Mm.
And I was dancing and I was like, oh my God. And I was so panicked that it was like in one of these formations, we were like all in a big triangle. And I was like the guy that was off the front girl's shoulder. So just like me and another guy at the front of the thing. And I was like dancing and I was like, oh my God. And I just felt it. And then I literally just like grabbed the person behind me and pushed them forward and just like went behind them. And so I was like standing directly behind this girl. And I was like going like, I was like literally like trying to dance. And luckily it was like Fosse. So it was like all like super like small and much easier to deal with. Otherwise, if I'd been like a full like jazz number, I would have been absolutely fucked. But just like both sort of like both balls, like bunny earing out of the bottom of this leotard,
Lord.
My jock strap just like sort of hanging out. And then like, then I noticed that like the strap had come off and it was like hanging out of the bottom of the leotard, and I can't remember whether I just went off in the end because I was like, I just literally can't do this, but I was like, I had to like basically continue dancing like holding up my jockstrap like underneath my it was honestly one of the most humiliating experiences of my life. And because we were in a group for a lot of it as well, like everyone on fucking stage knew and everyone was just like cracking up just like me. It was just honestly the most but luckily it happened like quite near towards the end. So, yeah, full balls out on a stage, trying to get through a dance.
Is that pedo as well? How old were the balls?
The balls were around 18, I think,
okay,
19.
Okay, so of age.
Of age, they were. But shriveled in terror. So, but yeah, I think that's an embarrassing enough story. Let's talk about the Oops, I Did It Again runway. What would you have done for an Oops, I Did It Again runway?
I was trying to think of classic red carpet, like faux pas, like when the flash goes off and then you could just see like the whole tits.
Yeah.
Or you know, classic skirt in the knickers, tissue on the floor. My first thought was I would want to do like gorgeous Valentina style bridal, white, everything, and then just bam, period all over the back.
But then you wouldn't be allowed to.
Well, of course, because nasty women.
Manilin.
So then I thought I would want to actually give you like really extreme like VPL. Yeah. So have just like a gorgeous dress and then like some massive like 3D, maybe even like a nappy underneath, just like gross things. And then maybe just like a big like sort of middle-aged woman's like black bra strap hanging out or something, like underwear. Underwear being seen, basically.
Yeah, cute. Well, my first thought actually was that I was like, I would go... Exactly like you said, like flashback Mary, like just like huge white, exactly like Coco Montrese on the lips. Just like huge white all over the face. And I was like, oh, but actually like it's, I don't think anyone understood the assignment because it's outfit, isn't it?
Mm.
So I was like, oh, that wouldn't actually be doing the outfit. But then I thought I would go like a super gorgeous, like flesh dress. Super, super like absolutely the tightest thing in the world. And then I would have like just like a really, really big like packer in it. So it's just like super tight on the dress and then just got like a big old schlong.
Dick.
Yeah. Big old schlong down by your leg.
Mm.
So that's just like the most obvious thing when you come out. And then maybe some comedy balls as well.
Oh, nice.
Some gigantic.
Or maybe a slit down testes. The back of this dress and then they're just like.
Low hangers.
Yeah. Swanging.
Is that a patented phrase? but yeah. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. So first up, we have Trinity K. Bonet serving sort of vintage Liz Hurley meets classic Trinity K. Bonet.
Gorgeous.
Two icons meet.
Please.
I just put drag excellence. This is drag excellence. And how badly do you need them gloves?
Oh, I loved them.
Obsessed with them.
This was very close to my heart because, as I said, showgirl rigging the gig.
Yeah.
Safety pins are a vital part of drag.
Yeah. Yeah.
And any kind of performance. Literally holding everything together. So really appreciated that. Didn't appreciate Michelle being like, oh, Like, it's a shame I had to wait till you turned round before we saw it. It's like,
oh, so you need everything blaringly obvious slapping you in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want the beauty on the way up and then the gag on the way down. Exactly. Fuck you, Michelle.
Well, exactly. You know where I stand with her. I gave this a 9.
I gave it 8.5 truffs.
I just, you're really, sometimes a girl just needs a half point. You really love them, don't you? Next up, we have Raja in a deconstructed cherry sequence.
Cherry sequence. I didn't like the hair.
No.
Maybe if it had been black, it would have been cuter for me.
Oh, I'm going to be black. I thought it was a bit mumsy. The hair. Do you know what I mean? It didn't really like.
I think it's maybe meant to be kind of like a sort of 70s, like flicky thing, but I think it kind of just got bit lost with the purple colour.
I thought it was more supposed to be a sort of 50s, like wide. I thought that was the problem. It wasn't wide enough. It should have, they should have blown it out a bit more. But yeah, this wasn't for me. And I thought actually when she first came out that it was a scrap of fabric, which is a real testament to how good she is with clothes. Because I was like, oh my God, is she holding a scrap of fabric up on her body? They're going to destroy her. But then I was like, no, the garment is constructed so well that it looks like it's a scrap of fabric hanging off her body. Giving you a little Angelina with the leg. Do you remember the chokehold that photo had on the world when she first came out? She's like, oh my God, Angelina has got one leg.
Crazy, isn't it? Y'all heard of Jessica Rabbit?
Yeah, just like people absolutely lost their mind just because she popped a leg out of a dress.
I thought the acting was great. The beauty is evident. I didn't love the garment, but...
Definitely, I thought it was fun. I liked the beat.
Yeah, and the beat was giving me 7.
Same.
Yeah, I thought it was cute. Next up, we have Miss Kylie Sonique Love serving you ketchup and mustard fantasy.
She was inspired by the Jean-Paul Gaultier McDonald's servers in Fifth Element. Yeah. I kind of wish she went a bit harder with that.
Although, I'm... waiting for someone to do a fucking it's such a fashion moment. I can't believe no one's ever done. I haven't even seen it like off Drag Race, like another queen has done it for like a show or whatever, that no one's ever done a Fifth Element like killer look. Because it's, do you know, it's the first show ever where a
Brooklyn Heights kind of did the like the white bodysuit thing.
Did you?
On the first, like one of the challenge, the first challenge, which has got like the massive like trench coat on top of it and the slick back hair. She's basically wearing that bodysuit. But it's not a full Fifth Element look.
Yeah, and I think as well, is her name Milu? Milu, is that her name?
Lilu?
Lilu.
No, I'm getting confused.
Lilu and Stitch.
I'm getting very confused. Luca?
that's also a bit basic. Just because the outfit's quite basic, but it's just essentially bandages.
I'd like to see the like comedian, what's his name?
The leopard print.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's the first film ever made where a couturier he made every single outfit for all of the extras. Every single part in it was made by
a job. How long do you think that would have taken?
2 to 3 years, I imagine.
Mental.
Yeah, Jean-Paul Gaultier made absolutely everything, and it's just got so many incredible fashion moments. I just think like I'd love to see.
Maybe we scrap Oliver and just do a musical of the Fifth Element.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm sold. But who would you want to be? I'd want to be the diva.
Me too. Ooh. I'd want to play many roles.
I can't believe no one's ever done that.
And I'm still waiting for that Chanel makeup machine, please.
Oh my God, please.
We'll have to settle for the Simpsons shotgun.
But yeah, did you see that reference when she came out?
Yeah,
me too. I just absolutely loved it. I loved how campy it was. I loved the wiener reveal. Come on.
Honey. Behave. As a trans woman as well.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely. It kind of reminded me of, do you remember when Bitter Betty at DragCon, you know, she's been very, it must be difficult in America to be someone of such high visibility, because Bitter Betty, obviously, who is our... Oh, I love her so much.
1-800 wig takeout, if you don't know.
Yeah, but you should get to know if you don't know. She has obviously been so incredibly vocal about the lack and the absence of trans artists being on Drag Race, and has been very vocal, I think probably one of the most visible high-profile queens that has been very, very critical and vocal of the Drag Race machine and them ostracizing and not using drag trans performers. But equally, not only does she run a wig shop where the wigs are constantly shown on Drag Race, and so many of the Drag Race queens obviously buy from her, but also she is someone that people absolutely fucking love and look up to. So she... obviously at DragCon is going to want to be celebrated. People are going to want to fucking meet her. So it must be a really difficult like space to be in where you're like, I don't really want to buy into drag world because it is a world of wonder and a RuPaul part of the machine. But also I want to fucking meet my fans. This is the biggest convention for drag around. And also what a wig takeout should have a fucking stall and they'd make a killing because they're so sick. So difficult. But it reminds me of when she went to DragCon and she had like a, she had this like amazing dress on that had like just like a gigantic, like it was just like so plain but had a gigantic
dick.
Cock like spray painted on it, and she just looked so fucking good. But yeah, shout out to Bea Betty, absolutely fucking love her.
I just wish, like Michelle said, that she could have been a bit messier, like the I would like to have seen some stain like around the mouth or like on the face, and I wish that the stains, because they were the exact same colour story as the outfit, were glittered or crystalled or something.
Here's my problem, though, is that I don't think that the assignment of what the runway was supposed to be was clear. And I think that when you don't make it, if you go to them like leather, like tight leather goth, then you've got three words that you have to kill. But like when you just say like, oops, I did it again, like a... whatever the parameters of it was like really unclear. So I don't think they didn't ask for a messy look. They didn't ask for, like, she just decided to do it in whatever way she felt. I don't know. I hate when they clearly, whatever Michelle has decided is what the runway should be. That's not how the others read it. So it's like,
well, yeah, but her interpretation of it was that, like, the fashion faux pas is that she got food all over herself.
But exactly, that's what.
But I didn't think it was that obvious. I feel like she could have made more of a thing of it.
Oh, okay. I thought
it was like a cute little look, really.
I thought it was really obvious, and I just thought that like Michelle didn't articulate what she meant very well, which just meant that her commentary felt a bit defunct, which to me pretty much always does.
But hey, she got buns in the back.
She does. I got buns in the back. I gave this a 7.
I gave it 7.5.
Okay, super cute.
I wish the hair was more.
Yeah, I didn't love the hair, but she does love a short...
and she's wearing a
witch. Think of the witch. Like, she loves a sort of short jawline cutting.
As do I.
Colour hair. Yeah, you do, don't you? And then last up, we have Ms. Eureka O'Hara.
You missed out, Ginger.
I did.
Oh,
didn't
no.
Okay. We have Ginger Minge.
Okay, bitch. This was fucking sick. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know how she got it to smoke.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I thought it was such a good, like, prop that worked.
I love
it. Like, it was constantly smoking. She had, like, the three areas that she used it. I thought, this works.
I loved the steam. Thought that was such a good trick. I love when they rig the gig and bring up them sort of things. But I guess I just didn't understand the assignment. Like, because if you're talking about an outfit, this had nothing to do with the outfit. It was just,
well, there's a couple of burns on it. It was like, oops, I did it again, isn't it? Like you said, like if it's loose, it's loose, and there's the problem with the ensemble. So,
but there was no problem with the ensemble. That was my problem. It was just,
well, it had
like,
burns in it.
It looked like she had got a wig that she wears all the time and a dress that she wears all the time. And then she'd been like, I'm going to put a burn on my arm and I'll have this prop, because the wig wasn't burnt either.
Well, no, when it started off, there's hair in the curler. So she like pulls it away and it's like, fuck, it's pulled
my
hair off.
But the wig wasn't, like, you could have done that with, I could have picked up any old wig and been like, oh, this is from the fridge. Do you know what I mean? Like, it looked like an outfit that she then put a prop with. So it didn't really impress me, because I just thought, like, the prop is great. But the outfit could literally, you could have put her in her outfit from last week and it would have worked. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, to me, it wasn't about what she was wearing. It was about
the runway wasn't about the outfit. Okay.
It was about the story of the faux pas rather than the actual garment.
But I did love the steam thing. Didn't understand it, where it was coming from, but it was fantastic.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It reminded me, more story time for the gals.
Please.
One time, one of my ex-boyfriends was being very annoying. And winding me up while I was tonguing my hair, trying to get ready for a show.
Yeah.
So I burnt him on the arm with it. In hindsight, definitely abuse. But yeah. I swear, if you know him, you'd be like, he is so
fair
annoying.
Bucks,
he deserved that for everything.
Can you even imagine the fear, the constant terror that I live in being in the studio with her? Anytime she raises her voice, I'm like, oh my God, she's holding the straightener. She's got the hair dryer. And also, have I ever told the story about... the Vogue shoot
with Sophia Brown.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have I told it on the pod?
I'm not sure.
If I'm really sorry if I haven't told this before, but it just really reminds me as well of we were shooting an advertorial many moons ago when I used to work in, and one of my good Judy's, literally my best friend in the whole world, Sophia Brown, shout out to Sophia Brown. She was given a wig that was just like a very, very basic sort of silver synthetic wig. And her hair and makeup was done, ready to be shot. And then they decided to break for lunch. So while she was breaking for lunch, she, for some reason, took her wig off. Which is the first faux pas if you're at a fucking shoot.
Yeah, so I was going to have to put that back on again.
she just took her own wig off, took it off, and for some reason laid it down on, where would be the most useful place to put it?
Hot plate?
Yeah, let's pop it on the hot plate. She laid her wig down on the hot plate. This is, again, one, I think the only synthetic wig that was brought there for her to wear. Laid it down on the hot plate, and about 3 minutes into lunch, we were like, can you smell something that's burning? Is that the food? Turned around and the wig has melted onto the hot plate. And oh my God, the hairstylist, which was, I mean, I won't hype him up on the pod, but like a very, very well-known and successful hairstylist who does a whole host of celebrity clients, was absolutely fucking fuming.
Well, you because, would be,
well, there was
you?
No other option. Yeah. He was like, I just brought this morning synthetic wig because they were doing something with it that was needed just like a synthetic wig, and he was fucking livid. So the melting hair, really, I can still smell it to this day. So many backstage stories
this week.
Crazy, isn't it? But what would you have given GM?
I've written 9 here, but I'm going to take
9!
I was so impressed with the steam. I'm going to take it down to an 8.
Oh my God, I gave this a 6. Next up, we have Eureka O'Hara. I was going to say serving, but I don't really know how to describe what it was that she was serving.
The challenge.
You thought you loved this?
10 truffles.
What?
Yeah.
What did you love about it?
My belly is grumbling so much. Just like the multiple faux pas, like she'd really thought about it. Like there was literally from, like Thingy said, from top to toe, there were problems. Like her skin was like sweaty. Like the way she was acting was just like, this was just it. Like the sweat down the center of the dress, like the stains. I just thought this was perfect. It reminded me of the Joe Black Seaside, like windswept one, which I thought was great as well. I just thought 10 for realness, execution and presentation.
The gown was Marco.
There you go.
Isn't that weird?
Didn't know he had gowns.
Oh, yeah.
Think of him more as like wacky.
Wacky
things.
Underwears. Yeah, it was Marco, which is really interesting, actually. This felt like a very Lukey outfit. Just like it was very glam, but it was also like gross and stupid as well.
But I didn't really like the hair or the dress, but I liked what she had done.
Oh no! I don't mean like it felt like a you, just like in the same way that the Joe Black one felt like a you. Mm. Like it was like well done, and it was a really good concept, but it was also just like a bit gross, which I liked. When I first came out, I hated it. I was like, I really don't get the store. But then I saw every single little bit of it, and I actually really loved it. I loved the underboob sweat. It was so good.
But, like the details were like. Great. And she only needed to do one, but she did like 6.
Yeah. And the toilet paper is always going to get you a little laugh, isn't it? But I thought this was Zach Killian hair, because he's like very known for that. I don't know how you would describe it. Like the
sculpted
crimps. Yeah.
Cuckoo wore.
Yeah. Cuckoo. I mean,
and Trinity.
We've seen them quite a lot, haven't we? We've seen Trinity Taylor in one. We've seen, you want to see my cuckoo? What's her name?
Santiale.
And we've seen them quite a bit, and they're like a very, very recognisable wig texture shape thing that people love. But actually, this is Wigs and Grace.
There you go.
And yeah, I didn't... The one thing that I didn't like is the hair. Mm. That was just not for me, because I just really don't like that style.
Yeah, if it was me, I probably would have had like a glam do and then just had like a whole row of tracks like hanging out the back or something.
Well, that's what I was going to say, actually. Like, I feel like actually hair creates a whole nother world of things that you could, where it really could have fucked up.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And I thought that would be, another really fucking great... like you could, I would have had my lace like attached, showing my wig cap and my boy hair and stuff. And just like, there's so many hilarious things that you can do with the wig as well, which would have just added to it. But I gave this a 7.
7? Yeah. Is that all?
I gave it a 7. Yeah. I liked it. But I just didn't go crazy for it.
Definitely, I thought it was fun. I liked the beach.
What exactly?
I feel like 7 is you did what needed to be done.
No, I it didn't blow me away, and I really hated the hair.
Sure.
which leads us neatly on to the zinger and the minger, and my minger was the Eureka hair. I just don't like the style.
Mine was... Sorry, my belly is rumbling. Mine was either...
Bubbly like champagne.
Either Kylie's red wig, because it was just nothing, or Raja's one, because I didn't like it. But at least that's like a style.
The zinger, Slim Pickens, huh?
Trini's finger waves for me.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said as well. There's just, it was a lot of pageantry this week. Like, there was a lot of updos. And just a lot of hair that is not at all my choice.
Mm-hmm.
And also, weirdly as well, did you notice with the Eureka Zach Killian style one, it was like Zach Killian on top of a sleek updo?
I didn't. So to me, it just was kind of like almost like manga hair, like these, like, sort of just really big.
Is that the porn?
Bits. Huh?
Is that the porn?
Porn?
Like, yeah, manga.
Manga.
No, what's the porn? Hentai.
Hentai.
Hentai, cute. Sorry, you can see I have a real...
Is that the porn?
Real grip on my culture there.
Shout out porn.
Shout out you. Do you know what? You remember Jazz?
Yes.
Joseph, he always used to, it just used to crap me up. Whenever he used to reference porn, he always used to be like, me on you jizz. And I was like, and I always thought it was something that he made up until one day I was like, is that a real website? There is a real fucking website. Instead of YouTube, it's called you jizz.
Of course there is.
That is honestly the funniest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. So that leads us neatly back on to what are your thoughts on
Neatly.
What are your thoughts on Eukeria? You're curious.
What's going on?
Eureka winning.
I thought it was deserved.
Same. And I'm glad we're getting another lip sync from her.
Yeah.
I was excited for that. I was like, okay, will she be lip syncing? What I've really felt fucking uncomfortable with, though, is, I mean, maybe this is just because I really don't care for her, is the way that Ginger was talking at them. I thought, again, it just reeks
in
of
the
desperation.
Critiques.
No, sorry, I've skipped, unfortunately, back to Untucked. But it was just had to be said. The way that she was like, because, you know, like, I've done so well and there's like really nothing else I could have done apart from like maybe shit again. Like, why don't I trash what someone else has done and just tell everyone how deserved I am? And she'd also been like, oh, that smells like another win. It's just like, I don't know, I just... I've found it... I never really felt anything towards Ginger, but I found her... really hard to like this season.
Well, if we're skipping to that bit, I was going to say as well, like when her and Eureka were having their chat, I really didn't like the vibe. Everyone else is kind of like, hello, you're at the top, I would like to stay, this is a conversation. But there was like, so how are us two going to decide on everyone else's fate? Because like clearly I'm not an option. Like she was literally talking about everyone else as if she wasn't up for chop as well.
Yeah.
Up foot chop.
Sorry, let's wheel it back to the critique for a nastily joke.
I've got that much to say. Firstly, just so impressive that Raj has made all of these outfits.
It is so fucking impressive, isn't it? Like, you know, like obviously, who was it that was like, I've never worn a wig that I haven't styled?
River Medway.
But someone else before that was on Drag Race saying that that they've only ever worn hair that
Kyle? What's his name? The one that does the vidges on the Canada, from Canada.
Oh, no. What, Kine?
Kine.
Yeah. No, I don't think you'd want to be shouting out them wigs. It's so funny. Full disclosure, Kine was one of the first people I ever... saw.
He taught us how to crimp.
Yeah, it's that I ever saw doing. Yeah, I mean, we owe Kine about £60,000. he is one of the first people that ever really did YouTube content that was like very like breaking it down from like a non-professional perspective. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's always Wigging Out with Bobby Z has always had his YouTube and
Vanity been out there.
And Vanity, people that are like really skilled in what they do. That is not shade to Kine, but like people that are doing it from like a perspective of like, I've been a professional wiggy for 20 years. And so they're, when they're showing you, they're still showing you with a degree of like expertise. Mm-hmm. But he was one of the first people that I ever saw like online that I was like, okay, this makes it all look much more doable. And the, and even at the time I was like, the finished product is not like incredibly finessed, is not perfect. And it made me feel like I could do it. And he's one of the first people that like, because both me and Luki are completely self-trained, and we are children of the tinterwebs. And he's one of the first people. And but now looking back at it, so they are. Thank God for that entryway, but now it's not for me.
We don't need you no more.
No, we of course we. You never stop learning. We're actually a school of life.
I really liked what Justin said about Kylie, how her sitting down made him want to lean in, and it reminded me of, you know, when Courtney did the chat show with Chaz Bono and Georgia Holt, and they complimented her on like resting her head on her hand because it made her seem like she's really like listening. It was that kind of vibe, wasn't it?
Well, also as well, when I can't remember what this was to do with in chat showing, but they said that one of the most important things about being on a chat show, was this Drag Race? I don't know. One of the most important things, or maybe it was on AMTM, I don't know, I digress. One of the most important things about being on a chat show is that they, you need to make sure that the person that you're, it doesn't matter what you say to them, you need to make sure that they can see that you're listening. Yeah. That's like 80% of having, of being a successful host. It's like, you're looking at them and you're like, I am listening to you, because then you're encouraging them to talk rather than the uncomfortable situation of being on a chat show with the host. So yeah, I thought, definitely. And I thought she, again, just so personable. You just want to listen. I just thought, TKB, it just all, I it was a car crash in slow motion.
I don't think her or Raja deserved the sort of bad critiques that they got. I feel like Raja had the worst critique, but I really don't feel that Trinity deserved to have the comments made about her, that she seemed sort of like nervous or at the beginning. Like literally, like we said, like she covered like four or five different emotions and vibes in her story more than anyone else did. She really took us on a journey. And like I said, there was twists, landed on a joke, like what's your problem?
Finished on a, I 100% agree. And I just felt, again, that felt like production and them sculpting a narrative out of nothing.
Well, so we now move to backstage. Let's untuck them donkey tails. Let's get the goss.
Who do you reckon's got a donkey tail?
Eureka.
A big old dick on her.
Yeah.
Well, you know as well that they say that when you lose weight, it's like every stone or something gives you like half an inch. So, because obviously the, if you've got fat,
oh, it's closing in around the base.
But also, for the base, like that part of your body, like if you've got fat, you've got
pussy.
A fat pussy gal.
Shout out Carnival Weekend.
That it, one of my favorite TikToks ever is that girl. It's like, she's like, my name's Megan, but sometimes people mispronounce it as Big Butter Gal. It's the face that she does, and she does, it fucking kills me. But yeah, that, so maybe imagine if she's like swinging sort of like a nine incher, that actually the more weight she looks, it might actually be, who knows?
And if she trims those pubes as well, that's another couple of inches.
Yeah,
you've
she's
got.
Given 16. Who knows? 100%. But no one will be hung like a motherfucking baseball bat like Naomi.
No.
Naomi Smalls.
Although Tasis does touch the floor.
Well, exactly. So you got to be careful of these skinny boys. It's always the skinny skater boys. Sure, they haven't washed it, but it'll be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the skinny skater boys, not my angel Naomi Tase.
Trini's breaking my heart.
Oh, the whispering and the whimpering.
She did earn that top four spot. And it is like,
she did what needed to be done.
It's so upsetting because, like, obviously it was, in theory, exciting and good for Eureka to come back. But, like, honestly, to have made it to the final and then for your place to be taken away is, like,
actually heartbreaking. And especially by your friend as well.
Like, who's telling you, thank you for seeing me as a real human and not just a caricature of a person. But I'm sending you home.
It was heartbreaking, wasn't it? I just, the whole thing was really giving me the heebie-jeebs because I could, like I said, I could just feel it coming.
Mm.
I just thought, there's no way that Eureka is going to be sent home. Like, obviously she's won, but like after that, it was just like, there's no one else that.
Although I felt that after the critiques, really Raja was the bottom all-star.
Ooh.
But she had just won a
second. But I need to say something. I need to say it loud. I think the voting has been really dog shit and boring for like this whole All-Stars and last All-Stars. And I think that This relying on track record bullshit is not the TV that we deserve or need. Like,
we need Alaska style voting.
Well, I think Alaska and Naomi have put the fear of Jisoo in them that they're like, listen, you fuck up on All Stars, you may be able to get your redemption cycle back. But if you fuck up and do something, A, these crazy 15-year-old fans sitting in their bedroom in Detroit, like, are going to go crazy on the internet about and create fan hate sites for you and stuff. You can, one slip up and your entire, like, legacy can be marred by that. And I think what happened with Alaska was, like, the first of that, that it's like, oh, that it doesn't matter whether you're a favourite and whether you deserve to win.
I think she still is getting death threats to this day from that.
You piss off the fans and it's over. And then Naomi, like, I saw an interview with Naomi where she was like, it was one of the best and worst things that I've ever done. Like, it was so, like...
What, she's in Manila?
So polarising. Yeah.
I felt that Manila, due to her body of work, deserved to stay because she'd been doing very well. But, like, that was so exciting and so entertaining for Naomi to be like, sorry, life's not fair.
Exactly. That was, like, one of the best parts of TV. But I think also as well, like, Naomi occupies a very specific space in the drag world where, like, she is God to so many people. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's almost a bit like Alaska, that they're kind of both a bit untouchable. They're just like beloved so
but
much.
They've still got feelings when they've got to read these comments and
messages. Sure, but I think that's basically instilled that, like, everyone is fucking terrified to, they have to rely on this, like, structure of being, oh, we have to, like, think about the track race, when actually no, fuck it, it's a competition. Be a bitch. Like, this was the perfect time for Eureka to be like, I've been brought back. See you later, Ginger Minj. There's only needs to be one girl in the top, and it's going to be like one big girl.
The big girl's going to win this time. It's going to be me.
I'm going to kick her out.
Although really calling them both big and looking at the size difference is pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it was the perfect time for there to be some real TV and also some real fight. Like, I don't feel like the fight is real if you're not like, you should look at me like, no, Ginger Minj, get her out. Because it's fair enough to kick her out. Like, you were in the bottom. You didn't win. So, like... I was just a bit annoyed that, like, I feel like, be a bad bitch. Like, be like, yeah, I came back in and I knocked out Ginger. It's happened before. It will happen again. Look at Shanji. Look at Manila. Look at, like, this. It's happened so many times. Look at Alyssa. Like, but I feel like we're not getting that now. And I feel people are too scared now.
Well, yeah, like, Silky's whole thing of coming back is, like, she needed to clear her kind of card with the watchers and the fans, because they're people basically, yeah, sure, you're on Drag Race for like 8 weeks or whatever, but then you've got the rest of your life with these like horrible people. So it's probably like, yeah, I'll just do whatever on the show just so that I can have an easy life afterwards and not get like harassed and death threats every day.
Yeah, but what if you win? What if Eureka had kicked out Ginger and then she won because of it? What a fucking great story. Like, the fans are gonna hate whatever. Like, she might, like, you don't know what is going to happen in the next storyline that means that some, like, anyone could be a target of hate. Do you know what I mean? No one's safe. So I just think,
hey,
like,
send us some death threats if you're listening this far along in the pod.
Although this weekend we have had let's not hot her up on the pod, but fucking hell, some real real beef down in the DMs.
Why won't they give us the Kylie turn back anymore? They saw it was getting popular on the internet and they've taken it away.
Because they don't
want
to build her up as a winner. And that's why I hate them. Because that was winner's shit. That gorgeous Kylie turnback. I feel like maybe we should just put it up on the pod, us doing the Kylie turnback.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of winner's shit, what about that lip sync assassin, eh?
Oh, but when it cut to Eureka in full Harlequin clown mode, I was like, have I jumped an episode? What, like, why is she dressed up like this?
It's with the nose on and everything.
Oh, but I was so glad to see Jada.
Jada,
Essence Hall. I want to lay with you, Jada.
So gorgeous. Obsessed with that perky little mall bang as well. Was it a mall bang?
The mall bang! Yeah, just so gorgeous in that Tutti Frutti harem number.
10 truffles.
Absolutely gorgeous. And like the mall bang with the long pony. I just thought, do you know who'd love that long pony?
Who?
House of Colby.
Thoughts on the song choice?
I liked it. Little Richard goes hard, so you can like, but I would do it as Kennedy as Little Richard. Like, it's just, it's got a good beat,
but I feel like it doesn't really go anywhere. And I was thinking, good golly, Miss Molly, is that in reference to the horrible conditions that Pretty Little Thing customers are working under? Is it a call to action to Molly May to get this shit sorted?
Yes, it was a political stance. But also, was it just a call to like how much all of the cast love drugs? Good golly, Miss Molly. You
know? Maybe.
Shout out to the UK festival scene opening back up. And you could hear the jaws swinging from here, couldn't you?
I saw a Instagram and it was just like someone from Reading Festival taking a photo of a positive lateral test on the floor. It's like, I guess someone's dropped this. Like, cool.
Oh, no. That is absolutely repulsive. Also, did you clock how quick the reveal was on Eureka? She was like sort of like undoing her thing and then she like turned round and the full outfit had come off and she was in like a new outfit. I was like, what? Like so quick.
Because I feel like she was like...
You teach Silky that.
Taking it off in the kind of mindset of, good golly, like, yeah, gotta get this off.
It was great though, because it was like, that's what I love in reveals, in wig reveals and costume reveals. If you can't go, boom, and it's done. It needs to be like, you need to reveal it. It can't be, it's not burly.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I don't want popping it off one shoulder and going, come on, come
shimmy,
on.
Shimmy, yeah. Shimmy, shimmy.
But a double Shantae.
And imagine if two went.
Well, it made my stomach flip.
It would have changed the whole final.
We could have potentially lost two honeys.
Mm.
Imagine if it was like Trinity and Raja.
Yeah.
And Kylie. yeah, it was really scary. But I just thought there's no way he'd make it a double thing if they hadn't both picked the same person. I knew there was Trinity from then.
Mm.
And it broke my fucking heart. I'm not going to lie to you. Absolutely devastated. Can't believe it.
So, so gutted.
Trinity deserved a place in that final.
Yeah, because more really, than, she's got three wins.
She's got three wins. I think she deserved it more, obviously more than Eureka, but I think, I mean, I hate to say it, more than Raja.
Yeah.
Like, she deserved
I think
to
more
be...
than Kylie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Definitely more than Ginger. Yeah. Ginger's given me nothing.
She basically has three wins, so she should have just been fast-tracked.
And Rue seems so shocked and disappointed.
Yeah, and I think if Michelle was tearing up as well.
Oh, you would. You would. It was just... thoughts on Eureka also choosing Trinity?
Very confusing, but on TKB's Insta, because it was Eureka's birthday... maybe like Thursday or Friday last week. She
Happy
did like a
birthday, Rixie.
She did a post basically saying like, come on now. I love this bitch. It's just a TV show. Please don't send her any hay. Love each other. And then she also said that she knows her true twinkles won't be doing that. Twinkles?
We're twinkles.
We are twinkles. We put in the twink in the inkles.
Yeah! also, didn't you just love that she was like, if you've got a space for me on the Vegas show, it's like, imagine TKB doing Beyonce in Vegas, full circle moment, and then you invite Bianca and to be like, do you remember when she was like, oh, what, you're going to do you're gonna do Beyonce in Vegas? It's like,
yes,
notice
bitch.
Who hasn't been invited to be in the Vegas show.
Mm. But it's like, okay, get rid of, who's the host? Is it Asia?
I think Asia's quite a good host, no? She's not wasting time of numbers. Get rid of Derek.
How dare you? But yeah, like, Rosie missing a trick if they don't get Trinity in the show.
Oh my God, 100%. But I think that it could happen.
I hope so. If they think about all the ways in which it could...
And also
everyone.
As well, they've got they're going to, I think all girls will get to, who was it that we were like, what the fuck are they? Oh, Kahana.
Yeah.
Kahana, who went home second on her and has really, I would argue, has left no form of legacy whatsoever.
Well, she's left nothing because she's had a full body and facial reconstruction. Like,
yeah,
Kahana Junior is a ghost right now.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy. So I think that definitely could happen with TK.
So.
Oh my God, I die. Lukey, let's talk Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's hurry this up though, because I need a whiz.
My Rose. Jada being brought back and she's serving that glamour. Just absolutely loved it.
Oh, that would have been a good one. At the time, I was like, I can't think of any roses. I'm too sad.
I just loved. So you've got no Rose?
I'll go Jada.
Oh, okay.
Jada's more bangs.
The Thorn.
You know what it is? Trini's been left outside alone.
Yeah.
It's cold out here.
The TV bullshit. For me, it was the TV bullshit of not having the best people in the final. Like, I don't care for shocks and for all this stupid shit. Like, if you're not going to have the best people in the finale, then...
What's
and
the
that's
point?
Not even... That's, like, subjective. Sorry, that's not even subjective. Like, it's like, she... I don't know, whatever the fuck. It's just annoying.
Mm.
I'm really fucking annoyed. And let's talk Dreamcast.
TKB All Star 7. Bring the bitch back.
I am actually finding this increasingly hard now because we've
I've
done
out,
so
clearly.
Much Dreamcast. But do you know what I was thinking? Is that obviously if we're going to be able to get like winners and shit in, is that I would literally die. I'd be so fucking happy to see Aquaria back.
Mm.
Like the queen of runway.
Yeah.
Like really no one.
And funny as well.
Yeah. Just love her. Even though she had a bit of an up and down. I always forget how up and down actually she was on her season in terms of her battle with the other queens. Like she had a real...
Especially Cracks.
Yeah. And with the Vixen as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like she had real trouble, but just... Uncomparable beauty, incomparable beauty, incomparable fashions, incomparable icon behaviour.
Incomparable clapping back at idiots on Twitter.
That was the clap back. yeah, but we'd definitely love to see her. Lukes, you know, it's been a pleasure. I'm absolutely terrified that you're going to wet yourself in the studio.
I am jiggly caliente-ing on this chair.
Bopping up and down. She'd be bopping. Right.
Will she make it? Will she not? Find out next week on Cliffhangers.
Love you, girls.
Bye. Like and follow, subscribe.